Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from Vision of Hope Ministries. Ooh, it's been a busy day today, but I'm glad to be here and glad to just take a few moments to share with you and just thanking God for his goodness and all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. I'm coming to you again from Vision of Hope Ministries. We're located at 5105 Reagan Drive, Suite 105 in Charlotte, North Carolina. And our services, our services are Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. And then we have this weekly online Bible study, which I think is a true blessing because you don't have to come out, you don't have to leave your home. If you're rushing in, getting off work, or had a busy day, you can settle down, get your Bible, get a notebook, and just go into the Word of God from the convenience of your home by way of telephone or either online. I've been doing a series on giving all month, and we're coming down to the end. And we've talked about everything from Malachi 3:10 and 11, which addresses the tithe. We looked at Luke 6:38. Sunday I preached about the Shunammite woman. So we have been covering giving in the Bible. This coming Sunday I'm going to be preaching about when not to give. And that's going to be a good one. So if you're in the Charlotte area, come on in, to Vision of Hope and find out when not to give. Tonight I'm going to talk to you briefly about giving all that you have. And we're coming from the book of Mark, 12th chapter, and we're going to look at how the Lord looks at our giving. Amen? Father God, I ask you to just continue to bless us in your word, God. We thank you, first of all, for your love, your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. All that you do for us, Lord, we do thank you. And we ask that you would just continue to bless us and keep us, continue to lead us toward our destiny and purpose. Let this word fall on good ground. Let people understand the importance of giving, the importance of being in the habit of giving, the importance of being a cheerful giver, and to know most of all that we, Father, cannot beat you in our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to the 12th chapter of Mark, the book of Mark, beginning at the 41st verse. And it was so good and so interesting that I had to go use the King James and the NIV. Hallelujah. And I just you know, I just wanted to see it in both forms. You know, I'm traditional, I'm old school, so I really love the NIV, I mean the King James, but then I also love the NIV because it'll help break it down for you. So I'm reading from Mark 12, beginning at the 41st verse. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, that's the first thing I want you to notice, you know, because sometimes the church gets a little sketchy when it comes to giving. But Jesus sat opposite of the offering. That means if I'm coming off my pulpit and the usher is standing there with the plate, Jesus was standing opposite so that he could actually see who was coming down and who was giving. Okay, you may not believe it, but let's continue to read. So Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. That means he noticed. That meant he knew who they were and how much they were giving. Woo, Holy Ghost. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Now let me go quickly over here to the King James. Hallelujah. And it says, when Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people, how it says he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So again, he noticed that there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, so two small copper coins. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. My God. So how could the widow who only put in two coins worth only a few cents, how could she have put in more than anybody that day when he clearly noted that there were rich people giving in abundance? Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth. So he was saying, look, they had an abundant amount, and they gave an abundant amount. But they didn't give to the point that it was hurting them. They were wealthy. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So again, Jesus is looking at who put in, how much they put in, and then this is the key. He notices from our giving how much you put in and how much you have left. Isn't that amazing? He knew. He knows everything, so he knows how much the widow put in, and he knew how much she had left. She had nothing left. He knew how much the wealthy people put in, and he knew how much they had left. That's why he said, look, they're giving out of their abundance. They can afford to give that much. But the woman who gave all that she had, he counted her small gift as better than any gift at all. This is the hardest part for Christians to really get and to really grasp, because let's face it, if you have a job, you work hard for your money, and then at the end of the week or at the end of the 2 weeks or month or whatever, you get a paycheck. Well, you have faith in that corporation, in that boss, in the banking system, in the paper check that they give you or the direct deposit. You have faith, no doubts or reservations, that all of that is going to come into fruition on your payday. If something happens and your hours are wrong, we get upset. We don't know what's going on. We go in and we want to know what's going on, and we want to get the money that is not posted in our income. So we have faith in all of that. But God is our provider. God is the one who causes all of this to happen on your behalf. And I know some of you are like maybe a little leery questioning that, but guess what? God is the one who causes all of that to happen on your behalf. So when he causes your company to be open and be flourishing and causes them to properly put the money in the bank. All of that, God is in control of all of that. I know you've seen the news countless times where countless companies have closed. I mean, just look recently at Chiquita. Chiquita came in here, and our government came down to North Carolina, and our city government gave them millions of dollars and all kinds of incentives to come and to stay. And lo and behold, within less than a year or 2 years, they're merging with someone, and now they're leaving. So all of those people who have faith in Chiquita and faith in the paychecks and faith in the presidents and vice presidents of those companies, all of those people, some of them rather, are going to lose their jobs. And this is the hardest part, like I said, that we have to understand that God is our source. God is our provider. We cannot beat God giving. Sometimes God is going to prompt us to give our all. Sometimes he's going to prompt us to give more than we normally give, to get out of our comfort zone when it comes to giving. And I'm not talking about the tithe. This widow gave everything that she had, and Jesus himself knew it. And I find that remarkable. It's a revelation for me because he knew how much she gave, and he knew how much she had left. He knows how much you're giving, and he knows how much you have left. He knew how much the wealthy people were given, and he knew how much they had left. So God knows. Now, this is not a pressure message, because you have, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. He doesn't want you to give him anything grudgingly. And I mean, that's the nature of man. Actually, that's our God nature. Because anytime somebody is doing something for you, you don't want them to do it like, oh, like they're doing you a favor or anything like that. You don't want that. If you ask somebody to do something for you, you want it to be done out of the love of their heart. And so God is the same exact way. Whatever we're given to him, he wants a cheerful giver. So there's no need of grumbling going up to the offering pan with $40 and you're like, this preacher again is asking for more money. No, the preacher is not asking for more money. Sometimes God is prompting you, and when you give it, even if the preacher is asking for more money, when you give it, then you ought to give it to the glory of God. Give to the glory of God, because it's hard for some Christians to grasp that God is our source, God is our provider, he supplies all of our needs, he gives us the desires of our heart, he's the one who gives us the same job that we rely on and have faith in the company, in the president, in the boss, in the check that we get and we take it to the bank. God is so much more powerful and resourceful than all of that. I dare you to try to outgive him. I dare you today to try to outgive him. We have that cliche, you can't beat God giving. Then why do people freeze up when it's offering time? Why are there more $1 bills in the offering than any other bill ever? I feel like I'm in church because it's quiet. I want you to get in the habit of giving, church. Get in the habit of giving, because I'm telling you, you cannot beat God giving. And so again, the Lord sees and he knows. We don't have to hide. I'm not a person that pressures people into giving. I've learned out of my own experience, like I said last week, that you just can't beat God giving. This coming Sunday, like I said in the beginning of this session here, this coming Sunday, we're going to be looking at a scripture, when not to give. Hallelujah. And so that's going to be a blessing. If you're in the Charlotte area, come out to 5105 Reagan Drive at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, and you're going to be blessed. There's a time and a season for giving. We talk, like I said, about Luke 6:38, Malachi 3:10, giving with an expectancy. Sunday I preached giving, and you don't expect anything in return, and God will bless you anyway. So there are all types of giving. There are all situations around your giving. and then there's a time not to give. Hallelujah. So I hope that you've been blessed by this Mark, the book of Mark, 12th chapter, where the Lord was standing, read it for yourself, standing, looking at what people were giving. Most preachers, including myself, I am not Jesus. Most preachers, and like I say, including myself, don't want to know how much an individual is giving. I don't want to know how much an individual is giving. That's between you and God. Pay your tithes, especially if you're going to be an active leader in the church, then you need to pay your tithes. Everybody should pay their tithes. But if you're going to be an active leader, then you need to pay your tithes. That's part of a commitment. That's part of an investment in the body of Christ and in the church that you're in, believing that God is going to do all the things that he says he's going to do through your leader. So pay your tithes, pay your offering. Again, like I said, I'm not pressuring people to give, but if you're in the habit of giving, there is no end to your blessing, none whatsoever. So I hope you've been blessed today. I hope you have enjoyed this session on giving. Giving is a key when it comes to exercising your faith, when it comes to getting close to God. Giving is a key. There's so many scriptures in the Bible. One scripture, Cornelius, he was giving, and the scripture says that the Lord said his giving was as a sweet incense into God's nostrils. That's how much he was giving. You have to recognize that the Lord gave his only son, so there's no end to what he won't do for you. I mean, if somebody gives their child, gee whiz, there's no end to what God wouldn't do for you. So Cornelius, his money, the scripture says his alms, he was giving to the point that it was sweet incense. And so I can't emphasize that enough. The widow gave all she had, and the Lord knew it. If you have any questions or comments you want to make, you can press 1 on your phone at this time, and then that will open you up to make a comment. If not, then I'm just going to close out a little early. And I hope that you've been blessed. Hold on one second. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, you can hear me. I always have trouble with that. I came in late. I always set an alarm on my phone, and then I never turn it off because I know that I'm going to forget if I turn it off. So I never turn it off until I'm ready to jump on the line. But I turned it off early this time at 6:15, and then I forgot it was 6:39. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, Bible study. I just forgot. But I only came in at the till end, so I only heard a little bit of it. But, you know, I just wanted to say that I agree with everything you're saying.
Well, bless God. Yeah, I was running late today myself because I usually try to send out a reminder, but I have been out all day. And by the time I got home, when I say I had a few minutes to really get myself together and get settled, you know, I'm opening my laptop at 6:10. So, but I bless God. You know, we've been talking just shortly about Mark, where, you know, I just found it remarkable in the book of Mark, 12th chapter, where when the widow gave, Jesus knew. He knew exactly what she gave, and he knew how much she had left.
Right.
You know, it was, you know. And so that's where we have to, you know, just be mindful that the Lord knows about our giving. It was just like Ananias and Sapphira, and I could get into that because God was, questioning them? When Ananias and Sapphira were being questioned, the question wasn't, did you give, how can I pose it? The question was just, did you give the 10% that you were supposed to give? I'm going to have to find that scripture because it was just, you know, the way that question was posed with Ananias and Sapphira, and it was just crazy. But, you know, God is watching. He's watching our giving, you know.
Right.
And you know, we're not perfect. We all have some areas to grow, you know. So we all have areas to grow in. And, you know, sometimes people have bills that come up and, you know, and so we just, I like to definitely give the people the word of God when it comes to giving, because that's what we need. We need the word of God. And just like we have to grow in so many other areas, some people have to grow in their giving. And we live under grace and mercy. So I don't want anybody to feel bad or upset or whatever when they're not giving up to par, but grow towards your giving. Grow towards your giving.
Right. But, I was in a conversation with a group of young ladies yesterday, and they were talking about, like, you know, giving, and I was like, you know, it's definitely a principle, like, it's definitely in the Bible, talking about, you know, tithing and giving. And, like, you know, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, when, like, times are, you know, hard or tough, you know, they're like, you know, I can't give. But to me, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm like, you know, well, that's where your faith is. You know, you're going to give according to how far, you know, you believe. If you believe and, you know, you trust in God for more, then you'll give more. But if your faith isn't, you know, strong enough or your faith isn't big enough, then, of course, you're going to be like, oh, well, I got a bill to pay. I'm only going to give, you know, whatever, $5, because, you know, I got this bill to pay. You know, if I'm wrong, don't mean like, correct me, Mom.
Well, like I said, it is definitely a growth process. It is a growth process because, you know, again, some people give God from the first fruits. You know, he gets his first, and then some others will pay all of their bills and then say, okay, well, whatever I have left, I'll give to God. You know, this is the thing. Once you hear the word, and this means it's falling on good soil, once you hear the word, God will mess with you.
When
you get ready to go out to dinner or to do that special thing, and you know that you haven't paid your tithe, he'll mess with you. Listen, I know from experience. So, you know, if you've got $25, $35, $40 to go out to dinner, you know, you can pay your tithe.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? But the Holy Ghost does that. The Holy Ghost will mess with us when it's time for our giving. He'll let us know.
Right.
He'll tell you to give a certain amount in church. And, you know, I've been there, you know, where you'll be arguing, oh, God, is this me? Am I getting excited? What's going on? You know, am I old? But if God is telling you, and I mean, he'll go back because the scripture, another scripture says, you know, you have holes in your pocket. You know, you'll be broke. We wonder why. Can't get your money together. Can't get your bills together. If your bills and your money is not together, then sometimes it's an indication that your giving is not together. You know, so I've got a couple more minutes. I just wanted to look at Ananias and Sapphira. See, back then in the book of Acts, they were taking all of their money and putting it at the apostles' feet. That's what they had agreed to. Okay? God is only asking for 10%. Can you imagine?
Right.
It says the fifth chapter, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So she knew about it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? Okay, before you sold it, wasn't it yours? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. They made a decision, because that's what they were agreeing to back then, to sell all and to give it to the Lord. So he's saying, look, you made the decision to sell it, sell all and sell your property and give the money to the Lord. Why did you hold some back? That's a test, isn't it?
Right.
So that's a definite
definite test. Well, thank you for your boldness to be on the line. But it is a definite test. So we have to really continue to pray and to thank and praise God and to recognize, woo, hallelujah, that he is our source. Amen?
Amen.
That he is absolutely our source. And I'm just excited about it because I know that we cannot beat God-given.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to hold you any longer. Anybody else have anything to say? You can just press the number one and it'll let me know. Okay, well, we bless and thank God for all of his goodness. And just remember to be a cheerful giver. Amen? Amen. God bless.
Amen.